Thank you, Ms. Lindell. Take your Bibles tonight, if you wouldn't, go to 1 John chapter number 2. We'll have our time of business after the sermon and after we had an invitation tonight. So those of you, I don't want you to get stressed out or think I'm going to do it right in the middle of it all. Amen. Amen about it. We'll do that business at the end of the service tonight. But I am thankful that what a blessing it is to be in church tonight, to know that Jesus is coming again. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get looking at thinking the election might be the next thing on the horizon. We may be thinking we may make plans for all these things upcoming, but I'd be okay if Jesus came right now. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we got to be reminded of that Jesus is on the way. He's promised. He said he is. And again, sometimes we get locked in to, so again, I want to plan and prepare and purpose myself to go another day for him, but I want to be prepared for him to return as well. I think sometimes when we take our eyes, again, not preaching on loving his appearing tonight, but I'm going to preach on what not to love. You know, we've been preaching a lot on love, but, you know, along with what we ought to love, the Bible it tells us that God is love. It tells us things that we ought to love and how we ought to love. But the Bible also tells us what not to love. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get caught up with the evangelicals and all the crowd that's out there today. And again, love is what they think marks the Christian life. And it does. But the Bible marks us as Christians because we love the brethren. It doesn't say love everything. God is love. Now, and again, I think we ought to have a love for each other. I think we ought to have a love for the things that God loves, but we also ought to hate the things that God hates. We ought to take a hard stand against things that are not things that are in God's will and things that are inappropriate. And the Bible lays out some of those things, and it doesn't give us a great, great detail, but it tells us and warns us some things that we ought not to love. And so tonight I want to go through that, but I just want to pray. I know Brother Morgan's been sick, and I know Brother Strickland, some of our faithful members have just been out with the flu and things. And so I want to pray for them tonight before we begin the message. Just pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for our folks that just aren't able to be here, Lord, because of sickness. And sickness have gotten down and weakened them, Lord. And so I pray that you'd bring them back, Lord, strengthen them, Lord, in your time and in your will, Lord. I pray you'd give them strength. And Lord, I'm sure there's so many more, Lord, that I haven't heard about. Many we mentioned on our prayer list. And so tonight, God, we do lift them up to you in prayer. They're on my heart, Lord, and I know they're on your heart. And so, God, I pray that you'd ask you again to heal them, touch them, and just raise them up, Lord. I pray tonight as we open your word that, Lord, you'd help us to have clarity, that, Lord, that I'd just be your messenger boy and to deliver what you tell us not to love tonight. And Lord, I pray that if there one be here that does not know Christ as Savior, that they would realize the love of God for them and that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 John chapter number 2, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and we'll look at a few other things. But tonight, I just want to remind you that in the past, when I was a boy, I never heard a preacher have to really go into detail about what I'm going to deal with at the beginning. But, you know, as our world has gotten closer to insanity, we have to preach on it. And so God knew that the world would be in this place all along. It didn't surprise him at all. And so he put his word down in a way that would help us and help us understand that, again, it says in verse number 15, many of us have heard this, we've heard it preached, but this isn't the only passage we're going to be in tonight, so I want to make sure we read this and explain it and move on. Look at verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, the Bible gives us a reason. If it wasn't enough reason that God said that we should not love the world, that should be reason enough. But God realizes that we want to know why. I've never met a teenager that maybe didn't always say it, but they're thinking, why do I have to do that? I've never met a small child, and sometimes they don't know better than to ask why. You know, my little grandchild, when, you know, his mom and Pawpaw is drinking Dr. Pepper and he's having to drink some apple juice, he don't understand why he can't have that Dr. Pepper. Well, we've all seen how he acts after he has that Dr. Pepper. And he takes a couple laps. You know, it don't do that to Pawpaw anymore. Amen. And so for us, we all, again, a lot of times we ask why. And let me just say this tonight. It's okay to ask why. We have a book that tells us why. God cared enough to tell you that. Everybody don't have to have. And let me just remind you, parents, it's good to tell your kids why we do things. And the why just may be that it says it in the Word of God, and that should be good enough, all right? But God goes farther and just tells us the reason is because even if the things of this world or the things, again, that we know sin is good for a season, the Bible says that. Going to have and engage in it, and we're going to have a good time for a season, but there's going to come an end to it. The wheels are coming off that bus, and you're not going to like where they fall off at. You're not going to like the neighborhood they leave you in. They're not going to like, you're not going to like what it's going to, where it's going to bring you and where you're going to have to get off that bus. But again, the Bible says here, even the world itself and the world system, all the things of this world, that if you could fall in love with all of it, there will be a day that it passes away. But if you choose God and His way, it's going to abide forever. So again, are we going to choose for the short game or the long game? Are we going to choose for the nasty now and enjoy everything for this season? Or are we looking for the long haul into eternity? Amen. You say, well, I'm saved, preacher. Again, I don't know. If you're going to go headlong and give everything to the world, I think the Bible is contrary to that. Because the love of the Father is not going to be in you if you love the world. Now, I want you to see here, the Bible says in verse 15 again, love not the world. Now, I didn't have to preach this when I didn't hear my preacher preach this. Again, he would always go after the next point of the world's system. But we got to preach today, don't love the planet. Don't love the trees, don't love the grass, don't love the rocks, don't love everything that's there. Don't fall in love and don't spend your life trying to save something that God's got in His control. Amen. All right? I'm not against you picking up trash on the side of the road. I think it makes the whole place look better. We do it around our church. It's important. People drive by here and throw bottles out. They even throw some cans of stuff out that I've never had and won't ever drink. And they'll throw it out on our lawn, and it needs to be picked up. And I think we ought to pick it up everywhere. But I'm not trying to save the world. I'm just trying to make the property look better. All right? I'm not, again, I believe that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, not lost polar bears, not lost whales. He came to save lost people. All right? I'm not going to go. Again, if you didn't like it at the end, it said, don't, not the system of this world, but God's system. God's plan, God's will. God's will is all men be saved, not all polar bears. Amen? Dare I say, not all kitty cats. Amen. Not all chickens and everything else. You know what? I just never understood all the folks that will get in an uproar. And again, you know, discrimination against animals. I grew up on the farm. Why is everybody okay with killing chickens, but they're not okay with everything else dying? Okay? I mean, again, man was given dominion. Amen. Amen? God has consistently throughout His scripture say, kill and eat. Now, just because I don't want to eat a cat, don't mean it ain't fair game. You say, well, preacher, you're talking crazy. I know, but I'm just trying to make sure that you tune in, because sometimes we get on all the things that are popular. But we steer past the things that we love. Amen? All right? And again, I'm just going to tell you, there's no dog, there's no cat, there's no animal that has a soul like a person. Okay? And it don't matter how much love you put towards that object, it's not got the breath of life that God breathed into man in it. And it ain't going to be all dogs go to heaven. You can't ever put it there. Now you say, preacher, why are you going so far with it? Because we need it. We live in a crazy world. And if you're not careful, listen, I'll have 10 people after I preach this pull up 10 different websites on the internet and try to convince me from some crazy preacher that all dogs go to heaven. Listen, don't bring it to me. I've already had it. Somebody's already given it to me, all right? When you can show me from the Word of God that it has a soul, then I'll listen to you, all right? But don't bring me the internet. I'm not interested in the internet. I'm interested in God's Word. Amen. Love not the world, the planet, and all the things that went along with it outside of the man that God breathed the breath of life in. It's all going to pass away. And those souls that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are also going to pass off. I'm just telling you. There's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell, and everything that is not doing. Did you catch the way the Word of God is not wrong? It's never wrong. Amen. It said those that, again, according to the will of God, you accept Lord Jesus Christ, they will go on and abide forever. Everything that goes by the world system and by the world's way will pass away. All right? It's a sobering thought to understand that, and it helps us to understand that I ought not love the world. Now, these are the things that are in the world, and I must hasten, but again, not just the planet, but the world system. The world system is the Antichrist world system, and it doesn't call itself the Antichrist world system, but that's what it is. Everything's bringing on. Somebody brought me a book this morning that was about the Catholic Church and the U.S. government. And I said, I'm not worried about just the U.S. government. I'm worried about all these religions merging back with a world system under the Antichrist. But I thank the Lord that I'm going home to be with Jesus before all of that comes on the scene. I'm going to be kept from that day. And I'm looking forward to the day that I bust through the clouds and I'm with Jesus. And again, then the world will begin a one world system where things begin to merge under a man. And he is the man of sin. Man of perdition. But again, this is his system. And I just think it's helpful for our young people to understand this. When you love the world and its system, you love an Antichrist system. You are going against God and against his word and against the things of God. It's an Antichrist system that is trying to come into play. God's bringing everything together under that, and so he can pull his church out so that he can bring that action against Israel. You do realize Israel is going to have the days coming, or the days of Jacob's trouble. The reason the Lord is going to allow these things to take place is to wake up and pull the blinders off of his people. It's not to hurt them or to bring a great judgment on them. But a lot of times, you know, when we wake up and we realize something's going on, when we feel pain, you know, God gave us nerve receptors for a reason, did he not? To wake us up to that this is going on inside of us. And the same thing's going to happen with the world system. They're going to be in a bad way, and they're going to take a man. The Jews included, folks. They're going to accept him lock, stock, and barrel. And by the way, it's just important for us to realize the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all these things are how he's going to capture the world into his system. The Bible laid it out. He didn't have to come up with a plan. God wrote that he knew this was the system. This was the way he's going to capture the world. Listen, if we want to talk, I'm not going to try to make you super mad tonight, because that's not what I want to do, especially if I'm going to try to get you to vote later on in the business meeting. But listen, even the world system, folks, we didn't understand how everybody could all be linked in. If you had told me what an internet was when I was a boy, I would say, what are you talking about? If you had talked about a web, I'd have run in the other direction, because I don't like spiders. I don't want that mess on me, right? I mean, when we think about that, but if you could have told me that every one of us could have a device and that in moments we could just all share something and all of us watch a video that one of our church members made, I'd have told you were crazy. There's no way we'd ever have that. Not in my lifetime. You were talking spaceman stuff. And now it's just an everyday occurrence. Just load it up. And now it's gone past. Because again, it was one thing to have a video. Now you can go live and the whole world can watch you. And if you were under if Trump, don't think, and I'm not getting on to Trump. But again, he input an emergency system into our government where they have the right to just send your phone, whatever they want. Okay? So when you get those little alerts, like, you know, and again, they did it for a good reason, you know, get under a pew because there's a bomb coming. That's what they wanted. That was their intent. But what if they want to put propaganda out? They have the same right to just send it to your phone. They have the same right to send you a video. They have the same right to send you any message that they want, not just one of warning. And they got, and listen, they took and got authorization to have your number and to call you when they want to. And to shut all other calls down because they take priority. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's not that far-fetched to think that any time that they want to send a live feed from the White House or from anywhere else in the world when the Antichrist takes over, they can just send it to your phone. You don't have to turn it on. They turn it on for you. You don't have to turn and watch it. It's going to play, whether you want to or not. We live in that late hour. And so listen, if you were thinking, you know, maybe Jesus is going to wait a while, it's right around the corner. It's right on top of us. The technology, listen, all the prophecy has been fulfilled since I was a boy. Now all the technology is caught up with everything that the Bible said would happen, and it's prophecy coming into. Listen, I can see the cusp of now. There's nothing holding it back except for the Spirit of God. And so those of us that are saved and have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, we need to be light. We don't need to be fooling around with the lust of the flesh. That's the cravings and desires of the flesh, giving ourselves over to whatever whim comes over us. That's not, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to resist that. So we're not to love the world or its system. We're not to love the lust of the eyes. That means to be driven by what I see. I gotta have it. You know, I mean, that's it. Listen, I don't want to go in and demore. I'm not here tonight to tear everything down in our nation, but we all realize not only are Americans in debt, but our country's in debt. Okay? We're in a deep hole, and it's because of the lust of the eyes. Whatever we want, we get it. It don't matter if we have to get it on credit or whatever we got to get it on, we got to go after it. Listen, it's the way the world system has worked, has it not? We got to be careful to steer clear of that type of mindset in our lives or teaching it to our children or the pride of life. What is that? That means it's not so much just the want, I want this, I want that, okay? Sounds like a child, doesn't it? With no ability to discern. But if we were to go, listen, I'm just want you to see this, the pride of life. You know, that's keeping up with the Joneses. We don't often talk about that, and I'm not saying that the Joneses have all that much, but you know the terminology is this, that in other words, because somebody else got it is why I want to have it. It's not because I feel like led to have that or I need that for the ministry that God has given me or my family has grown and I need this just because I want it. I want it because somebody else that I'm envious of has it. Amen? Green with envy, and I need that. Listen, we don't often take envy and put it under pride, but that's exactly where it belongs. Amen? That I deserve. You know, that's what it builds up to. Envy builds to the place of I deserve this. And it's the pride of life. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 20. Love not the world, not the world system, not the planet, not the things. But again, you cannot love the world according to the scripture and have the love of the Father in you. You can't do it. Proverbs chapter number 20 is going to tell us another, love not. All right? Now, some of you aren't going to like this one. All right, the Bible says, look at verse number 11. I want to read a little context in it. Verse chapter 20 of Proverbs, verse number 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. The balance here, the Bible tells us not to love sleep. Now, I realize that, you know, I coined the phrase when I led the Bible college, and you've all heard that before probably, especially if you went to the Bible college, is sleep is for the weak. I would always say sleep is for the weak. Do you know what? When you work, guess what you get? Weakened. Sleep brings you rest and strength. All right? Now, there are people who love sleep, and they love to sleep. May not have put in any work. Amen. No beautiful, sweet rest from the work of the day and the things that went on, and then resting up to be able to do it all over again. The Bible tells us this, but tell me that this doesn't sound and go right along with the Word of God where we just left in 1 John. He says that even a child is known by his doing. So listen, even a small child in context is helping us understand that a little child, you know, I can tell, and even at camp, we train our young people, we tell them, listen, we're going to give you points if you help pick up the trash, if you help sweep the floor. Do you know there's some of them that are so, I mean, they're so driven by whatever they want to do, and they run off to it, and it's camp. Come on, folks, they want to get into canoes, they want to fish, they want to do whatever. But there's some of them that want to earn points. They have a desire to work inside of them, and they'll go clean the floor so they can get, because they want to win. They want to achieve. They want to attain. And that's what the Bible's dealing with here. He says, even a child is known by his doings, whether he's lazy or whether he's a worker. And we ought to come to the realization here, the Bible, all the things it tells us not to love is going to be this, what our desire for what we want, loving the world or loving the things of God. What are we going to work for? I mean, that's where it lays the foundation in 1 John chapter number 2. We can choose to pursue the things and lusts of the flesh, the eyes, or the pride of life, or we can choose the will of God and pursue that. Now, there's nothing wrong with pursuing making a living for your family. There's nothing wrong with putting a roof over their head and having a car, a nice car that you don't have to worry about getting you from church to home, amen, and doing all those things. The issue is if that choice is driven so you can have a better car than your neighbor, or you can have a bigger house than your neighbor, all those things. And again, by the way, if you don't realize this or not, you're going to teach your kids that stuff, because they're in there hearing and watching what you're doing. Look at what he says. Even a child is known by his doing whether his work is pure. So it's not saying just children. It's saying even a child. Most of us realize that we don't, in courts, they don't put a long-term record on a child because they have a chance to learn to do different and to be different. But once a child becomes an adult, and listen, by the way, they realize in our court system, you know, back in the day, when we used to say that a child would work on the farm until, I mean, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, first time they ever put me in a farm truck and I drove down the road, I was 11. I could barely see over the steering wheel and I was shifting and it had a 2-speed rear. And so most of you people that can't even shift a vehicle, I had to have a block on the pedal or the clutch to be able to reach all the way to the floor. And so, again, the farm hand, the young child raised on the farm learns to work, learns to do all those things, does adult things. But listen, I didn't have all those adult decisions, but I was known by my doings even then. And for us, we get to the place now, we realize how, again, the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the devil. Back then, we worked our kids and they worked off the farm and did the right things and those things. But they still, back in those days, they didn't call them an adult. If they did something wrong and they left the farm and went and did something wrong, they still gave them a pass. You know, today, because they know the world system younger and younger, you know, they throw the book at them younger and younger when they do bad things. They try young people at age 12 as an adult now because they knew what they were doing and they took somebody's life. Folks, I'm just telling you, sometimes we think about it that way. It's not because back then kids were known by their doings because of the way they worked, or whether they didn't work. The day and age we live in, they're known by their doings. How, again, drugs, alcohol, drinking, 8, 9, 10, 11. What we used to pride ourselves in, our kids learning to work at that age. Now, our kids have seen every HBO channel and Showtime and done all kinds of drugs and been in drinking and everything else. And listen, that's what's destroying our country. And we're headlong trying to legalize everything, trying to pour it onto them. And that, you know, and we're going to try to stop the advertisement. You know what would be best is if mom and dad stopped doing that stuff in the home, because the kid ain't going out and watching advertisement and choosing to do it. It's because he sees it in front of him and the people around him are living that way and then telling him not to do it. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to go out and do exactly. You know why a young person worked on the farm? Two reasons. Dad did it. And he's like, hey, listen, I'm not better than dad. And two, dad said, I'll kill you if you don't do this, right? Amen. Amen. No, you had to earn your keep. You know, you had to get out there and do it. And sometimes I think we miss the fact. Love not sleep. The Bible tells us not to fall in love with that thing. There is a purpose for all the things under heaven. And the purpose for sleep is to recharge us, not for us to enjoy it, for it to become a pastime, for us to fall in love with it. It's something that is supposed to charge us back up to get back out and do the things that we should do. Nothing is worse on a bus route when you go to a family's house and you never see the parent, and the parent is home. And the child is cooking breakfast because mom and dad are still in bed because they don't ever get up. And again, you may think that's uncommon, but I've seen it over and over and over again. Absentee parents, because again, just what the Bible tells us not to love, if we're not careful, we can fall in that category. Lest thou come to poverty. The Bible even has a warning for us that, again, we ought to work. Paul says in the New Testament, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Amen? And the Bible tells us that, but we're not supposed to love this. Listen, a child is known by doing, hearing, and seeing. The lust of the flesh, okay, is taught to young people, to our children, by doing, people doing it, them hearing it and seeing it. They don't just learn. Teachers, you want to know how to get your kids to do things? Again, the first thing you ought to do is put it on the board and do it for them in front of them. Doing. That's how they learn. By hearing, you walk through the steps of what you just did, and then them seeing at the same time, you walk through the steps again. And then let them ask questions, because most of the time, you know why the ones that you say, does anybody not get it? And half the room goes up. You know why? Because they didn't watch you do it. They didn't tune you in, and they didn't hear you do it. And they didn't see you do it because they had their head down, right? You say, what am I supposed to do about that, preacher? I don't know. Wear a funny hat. Take a lap around the classroom. One of the things that is the biggest challenge in our age is to get young people's attention. Because listen, the world and system has their attention. The game system has their attention. All right, the wrong crowd has their attention. But what doesn't have their attention are the people that are just doing right, that are just working every day to provide for them and to take care of those things. And one of the things, sometimes we want our kids to be kids. I've heard that over and over again. Again, if you train your kids to be kids, guess what they'll be? You train your kids to be adults, and one day they'll be upstanding adults. But we live in a world where Dr. Spock and some others, and listen, I don't have to come up and tell me that you like Dr. Spock, all right? All right, I've had that one happen too after I got after him, all right? I'm just telling you, we ought to come to the place in our lives to realize that the Word of God should reign supreme in training of children, not a book that some doctor wrote. Amen? Love not sleep. Now I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And I'm going to have to turn it up and try to hasten tonight. But the Bible has several things that it wants to say to us. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And this one is not a love not the way the others are. But this is one that I believe everybody needs to hear tonight. This is a personal one to me because I had someone I loved and grew up with that was very personal to me. And my life goal was to be a good husband, good father. I wanted to raise my family right, work hard, have a business and all those things. And his, again, I can still hear it ringing in my ears. Christian, raised in the same church I was, one of my best friends in all the world. And he said, I'm going to make $1 million before I'm 25 years old. He didn't say why he wanted to make that money. He didn't tell me a purpose. He didn't say how he was going to do it. I want to build a business that's worth this. He didn't say anything about that. But his desire was the love of money. He wanted to be a millionaire. And that was his purpose in life. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says not to love that. Not to choose to go after it. Look at it in 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible's going to tell us that, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It doesn't say that the rich fall into temptation. It says those that will be. That means they have a desire and all they can think about is getting after money. Will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I just want to preface it and just make sure everybody understands there is nothing wrong with having money. There's something wrong with loving money. It's something wrong with money owning you. It's not saying that if a person is rich, do you know, I've said it over and over again, and I don't want to belabor the point, but the Bible is very clear on this, that sometimes when people purpose, and their whole purpose is not to build a business or to provide this, and if you listen to someone who is truly a very good entrepreneur, they would love, even people who are inventive in their ideas, those people who are passionate and succeed are often people who want and they see a need in our world, and they choose to fill it. And a lot of them become rich from doing that because they pursue something that they fulfill a need and they fulfill a purpose in this world. And then they become rich. People who often set out and their whole goal is to be rich, thus they want to be an inventor. Thus they want to do this. They often, again, that's not for me. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a mindset of that's against the scripture, especially for a Christian who's in the faith. It says if that is your goal, you know, a lot of young people growing up being a youth pastor for a good point. Listen, I'd listen to them and what they chose to do with their life would often be, they would, instead of making a choice for what they love doing and what God made them to do, they will choose a profession over what it says it will pay. And I'm going to tell you, you'll regret that decision every time and twice on Sunday. Because God made you to do something, and there's nothing wrong to get paid for working. Okay? But if your purpose is to make, listen, so, and I'll just say this, I think it's completely out of bounds that people will pay millions of dollars for people to play a game like baseball or football or NBA and all these crazy things. I think it's great that they have the physical strength and stamina, but even the greatest of them who you could emulate and are really good, they don't play the game because they get paid big bucks. They play the game because they want to win. They play the game because they love the game. Now, getting paid is something they would also like to do, just like you and I, to take care of their family. They realize this is what God gave them, this is what they're pursuing, and they only have so many years to use what they're using in that sport to get paid. Now, don't get upset with me tonight. I'm not saying they're worth the kind of money they get paid, but a lot of them, it's not, their purpose is not to be rich. Their purpose is to be good at what they do. And again, if you get rich because you go into a business and you decide to be good at what you do, there's nothing wrong with getting paid for that. But if you go in and choose a profession and say, I don't care anything about this profession, I just want to get paid. You know, there's a lot of people around in the world like that today, and they ain't worth a plug nickel. And it don't take long before the world and us figure out that they ain't worth a plug nickel, and the ones that would be rich are chasing a dollar, and they're in debt. You know, a lot of them are in politics, and they weren't happy just spending their money. They're spending ours now. And the love of money in the country and in the world today is spinning the whole system headlong towards the Antichrist system. If you don't realize that the Antichrist is going to come in because all the markets of the world will be broke, everything, there ain't going to be nothing to eat. There ain't going to be nobody to turn to except for the Antichrist, who's going to come in and fix everything. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? I want to turn one last scripture with you. Because not only does the world, we're not to love the world, we're not to love sleep, we're not to love money. And lastly, I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is finishing the first letter to the church at Corinth, and they have had tons of trouble. And I found this I felt like, you know, maybe I shouldn't mention this tonight, but I really think it's important for us to understand that when he finishes the letter to the Corinthian church, he tells them, as he's telling them how much he loves them, he tells them to watch out for somebody that they're not supposed to love. And we are marked by the love of the brethren, but if there are people that call themselves brethren in our midst and don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're supposed to steer clear of those folks. Because there are people that will say they're Christians. They'll say they're believers. They'll say all kinds of things. But I just want to remind you, look at the scripture with me before I go headlong into it. Look at verse number 22. He said some salutations in verse 21 and verse 22 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The scripture there, you say, what is he saying? Really, the first part, there's all kinds of commentaries on it, but if you read the 1828 dictionary, you go to Strong's. Strong's has about three different definitions, and everybody always goes, let him be accursed. But the 1828 dictionary uses this term for it, give him to the Lord. Doesn't say curse him. Doesn't say throw him to the wolves. It says it's somebody that you and I are supposed to separate from, the word Maranatha, till the Lord comes. In other words, it's, you know, other places in the scripture tells us to mark people like that and to steer clear of them. And it also tells us in other places, people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him and live for him, to mark them and to follow them as they follow Christ. Paul says that about himself in the scripture. But for us tonight, when we start to mark some things that we're supposed to stay away from or to not love, in this month of we're talking a lot about love, we're not supposed to love the world or its system. We got to be careful when we begin to evaluate what we set our heart on, that the world is not in it, that we focus our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know a missionary that goes out to a country is called of Jesus Christ, and his focus and his love should be on the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he's going to minister in a foreign country? He's got to be careful, because if he loves the people, they keep shutting the doors and rejecting him, he's liable to come home. His love has to be ultimately on the Lord Jesus Christ and him first and foremost. You teachers, if you put your love, if everything is bound up in your life about the kids in the school loving you back, you are sadly mistaken. You are going at it the wrong way, because your love and your devotion should be to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the kid says, no matter the outcome. And listen, they're going to be better for it, because if you love him the right way, you'll love them the way he would love them. You don't think Jesus was used to despised, rejected of men? He was. But we've got to be careful, because if we're not careful in this, we'll avoid the world. We'll work ourselves, and we'll put in more hours and have less sleep so that we can attain and work and have reward when Jesus comes. We'll give ourselves. Again, we'll work, and again, the money is not something that we got our eyes on. It's for Jesus Christ. We could have all those things right, and if we're not careful, we'll fall in love with somebody in the church who has about that much love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, why are you preaching this tonight? Because this morning I told you how to measure love. Listen, I am not the judge of Christians in this building tonight. Jesus is the righteous judge. I'm a fruit inspector. I'm going to measure the way God tells me to measure in his word. And listen, there are some people that say they love Jesus Christ, that they're called to some things. There'll be people that'll tell you, listen, you can't tell me that somebody that'll walk in and tell preacher that they're going to be preaching that Sunday morning. You know, and we laugh about all that. I'm preaching. God sent me here. You don't think that they will claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ? That they don't have all these things? Listen, but I'm telling you, if you check the fruit, if you inspect their love, do they love the things that God loves, or do they love the things? Listen, you know, there's a lot of people that claim to love Jesus Christ, and what they really love is money. And the whole reason they're into ministry and pursuing and doing things for God is for money. Now, don't check out on me just yet. I know I got to finish, but I want you to get this. Just because your paycheck ain't millions of dollars don't mean you can't be working paycheck to paycheck for the Lord. And guilty of the same thing. I'd quit this job if it wasn't for the paycheck. When did it become a God? When did it become a job and not a calling? Hey, we got to remember that. Hey, when did it come to a place where you want it, you can have it? That ought to break your heart. I'm just going to tell you, it's a wrong mindset. It ought to be a place, listen, God called me to this. For all of us, every one of us, this world system, if we're not careful, we'll have all these other things that I preached on first right. But this love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it keeps everything else right in our life. When we keep Him and He's first and foremost, then we don't have our eyes on men. We don't have our eyes on money. We don't have our eyes on rest. We don't have our eyes on everything else. We got our eyes on Him. And all the things that come along, it's okay because He's in control. He's in the driver's seat. He's the one I'm trying to please. He's the one I love. It keeps us in the love of God. It keeps us right where we need to be. And listen, all these things, I mean, we've been preaching on what we ought to love, but these are things, there are some things I want to be loving when Jesus returns for me and His church. But there's also some things I don't want to be loving when He comes back. There's things that would make me ashamed of what I had my heart set on when He appears. I don't want that. I want to be looking for His appearing. And for folks, listen, when we love the Lord Jesus right, we can't wait for Him to appear. Our heart's desire is to come quickly, Lord Jesus, and then come for Your church. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, as the church is going to do business with the Lord tonight, there are some things on this list that we ought not to love. And maybe you're not in love with them, but maybe there's some of them that have been tempting you. You know, and sometimes when the preacher preaches, he makes us aware of them so that we can go down and we can alter our course in life. And we do that by coming to the altar and doing business with God and saying, God, I was thinking about this and I realized it was wrong thoughts and it was wrong actions, and God, help me to change my course and to get back on course for Your will and Your way. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I don't know God. I realize He died on Calvary for me, and I've never accepted Him as Savior. I need to do that. Listen, that's a great way to begin to love the Lord Jesus the right way, to love Him for what He's done. Let's stand together tonight. Let's do business with God. Let's let the altar alter our course if we need it to tonight, as Brother Burt sings.